Today, we are going to get onto the final I am statement that we find in the book of John. So again, just like last time, we're going to see how much you remember of the seven I am statements that Jesus said in John. So can I just hear from anyone in the congregation, anything you remember from this slide? Oh, I'm the gate. Okay, we have the gate. Oh, does this work? Oh, it doesn't work. Oh, it does work, but I just can't see it. Oh, gate, nice. I'm the light, light of the world, yeah. Good Shepherd, bread of life, the way, the truth, and the life, the resurrection, and today, I'm the vine. Cool, so we finally have the full picture in color. That's kind of exciting. So I'm the vine, or I am the true vine. That is today's verse for today. So in this final I am statement that we find in the book of John, Jesus, I want to say that Jesus gives us the blueprint for growing as a Christian. It was really cool this morning to see that the candle that we lit today was about faith. It was about growing in our faith. And I think the statement, I'm the vine, tells us how we can do that. If you've ever wanted to know why following Jesus is unique from all other religions and philosophies, this is why. If you want to learn how to grow deeper in your relationship with God, this is how. If you're finding that your walk with God seems stagnant or dry and empty, this is possibly what's missing. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So today we're just going to focus on this one verse. The whole chapter is about I am the vine, but we're just going to zoom in on one verse. In this verse, Jesus gives us three things that make up a kind of blueprint for living the way God intended. First, remain in Jesus, or in other words, make your home in Jesus. Two, be bearers of fruit. And importantly, bearers of fruit, not makers. And I think there's a difference between bearing fruit and making fruit, and we're going to get into that later on. And finally, don't be stubborn. Don't be arrogant. Don't let your pride get the better of you, but lean on God for everything. All right, so one, make your home in Jesus. Two, be bearers of fruit. And three, don't be stubborn. Let's look at these things one by one. First, making your home in Jesus. Jesus says, remain in me as I remain in you. Now, this is very clear from the vine and branches imagery, right? If you cut a branch off the vine, it's going to wither. A branch can't live by itself if it's not connected to the vine, to the tree. It has to remain in the vine. But what does that mean for us, to remain? Well, most translations use one of two different words. Half of them, like the NIV or the NLT, use the word remain, remain in me. The other half, like the ESV or the New King James or other translations, they'll use a different word. They use the word abide, abide in me. And you might have come across that before. Now, both words are equally valid, right? If you remain somewhere, you're abiding there. If you abide somewhere, you're remaining there. But the word abide can give a stronger sense of purpose, right? It's intentional. You're not just staying somewhere. You're intentionally being present. Abide. You're inhabiting that space. You're dwelling in that place. And I think the Message translation does a really good job here. It says, make your home in me just as I do in you. And so right off the bat, we see that remaining in the vine means that we're not to be satisfied with simply being connected to Jesus. That's not enough. It's too passive, right? When a branch is connected to the vine, it's not just connected to it. It's actively drawing nutrients from the vine, right? It's actively drawing energy and life from the vine. It depends on it to grow. And so from our perspective, if Jesus says he's the vine and we are the branches, then in the same way, we can't just be saying, yes, I believe in Jesus, yes, he's my savior, and then leave it there and do nothing about it. See, that's not enough. You might call that being acquaintances with Jesus, but that's not remaining, that's not making your home in Jesus. Many Christians miss out on what God has in store for them because they're satisfied to just be connected. And Jesus says, you can't stop there. Connected is not enough. You have to make your home in him. So what does that mean, practically speaking? Well, let's look at the word home. You know the saying, there's no place like home. Yeah? There's no place like home. So a lot of us have been blessed to be able to travel, right? Whether it's to Australia or the South Island, Japan, Korea, Hong Kong, Europe, wherever. And the St. Kent's kids have just been to Tongariro for a week and back. And has anyone else been following Gabby's Instagram? Yes, right? Like, her and Esmond's Japan trip looks amazing. But home, right? Even with all that traveling, there's one thing that's probably true for all of us who have traveled. No matter how beautiful, how fun, how amazing the trip was, at the end of the day, when all is said and done, there really is no place quite like home. Right? Home is where you can relax like no place else. Home is where you can rest and recharge like no place else. After a long day, home is where you can make yourself a cup of hot chocolate and kick your feet up and know that you're safe and secure because it's the place where you find shelter. And see, that's what quiet time with God is. Just like how a branch draws nutrients and life from the vine, we draw spiritual renewal from Jesus when we spend intentional time with him. And notice I said intentional, right? It's not just skimming through a Bible reading plan. It's not just throwing out a prayer before you go to bed, right? You have to make that quiet time with him home. And when you do this, you'll find that your soul, nourished and refreshed. You'll find that you have the strength to face a new day. Right? And if that isn't something that's a part of your routine at the moment, and it sounds like something you want to try, let me point you to the story of Samuel. You can read this story in 1 Samuel chapter 3. And in the story, God calls out to Samuel, right? But the first few times, he doesn't realize it's God. He thinks it's the priest in the room next to him. But Eli, the priest, teaches him. He says, next time you hear the voice of God calling, say this, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. The reality is, if you call Jesus your Lord and Savior, you are connected to the vine. And just like how God didn't stop calling out to Samuel, even though he didn't realize it was him, God doesn't stop calling out to you and me. All it takes is for you to choose that this time, right here, right now, I'm going to set aside this time. I'm going to pick up my Bible. I'm going to bow my head in listening prayer and intentionally seek God. I'm going to call back to him and say, "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening." And listen, if you haven't done this before, the first few times it might feel weird. Right? You might feel like nothing's happening. But the important thing is, don't give up. It does take practice to hear God's voice. It takes time to learn what the Holy Spirit sounds like. So stick with it. Persevere. Talk to other Christians who are further along in their journey than you are. We might not have all the answers, but I know what I do know is that God has promised. If you seek him with all your heart, he will be found by you. And so this is the first point of this blueprint. To live the way God intended, you must first remain or make your home in Jesus and spend regular, intentional time with him. Now, the second point is to be bearers of fruit. Jesus says, "You will bear much fruit." I don't want to go too much detail into this point because it could be its own sermon. But the distinction I want to make today and what I want to challenge you with thinking a little deeper about is, what is the difference between bearing fruit and making fruit? Right, bearing fruit and making fruit. When we talk about spiritual fruit, what usually comes to mind is Galatians 5, right? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. All right, nice, good job. If you got through all of them, good job. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, my question is, whose fruit are they? Is it my fruit and your fruit? What does it say? Right, the fruit of the Spirit. It's easy to miss that. The Bible clearly says that love, joy, peace, patience, and so on are the fruits of the Spirit and not the fruits of the Christian. Right, people read this verse and they understand it to mean, hey, now that I'm a Christian, I'm going to need to be more loving. I need to be more joyful. I need to be more at peace. I need to be more patient. I need to be more kind. And we get into this mindset that we need to make ourselves more aligned with the Spirit. And we start believing that we need to make these fruits appear in our lives by our strength. It's a very subtle thing, but we see this idea in self-help books all the time, right? Self-help books tell you that if you want to live a happier life, when you wake up in the morning, tell yourself, "I'm going to choose to see the bright side of things today." If you want to be a kinder person, right, then write yourself a list of kind things you can do for strangers and go do them. Now, it's not that these practical tips are necessarily bad, but the difference between the Christian and the non-Christian is that for the non-Christian, they have to be makers of fruit because they have no one other than themselves that they can rely on to bring about these qualities in their life. They have to do it themselves. If you're a non-Christian and you want to be a kinder person, you need to figure out how to do that for yourself. But for the Christian, we're not called to make our own fruit. Making the fruit isn't our job. We're called to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, to bear means to carry or to hold. If you've ever watched a plant grow, you know that the branch doesn't make the fruit. At best, the branch makes the flower. It makes the space for the fruit. But once the flower is pollinated, how does the fruit grow? Where do the nutrients for the fruit come from? Where does the energy come from? The vine. The vine is the one doing the hard work, but the branches are the ones who get to show off the beautiful fruit. And so for us, just like how the branches make the flowers, they make the space for the fruit, we want to be making space. We want to be looking for opportunities to show love, to be kind, to share peace, and so on. But the difference is, when the opportunity comes, it's going to be the Holy Spirit who empowers you to bear His fruit. So that when I show you love, it's not going to be my love that you feel, but it's the sacrificial, unconditional love of God that you are receiving. That when I come to try and give you peace, it's not going to be my words of comfort that are doing the job, but it's the peace of God that transcends all understanding that is guiding your heart and mind in Jesus. And the thing that blows my mind is that God even allows us to be the ones to bear His fruit. Right, think about it. If we're being serious, it is the Holy Spirit alone, His power alone, that produces the fruits of true love and true joy and true peace and so on. Yet just like how the branches get to display the hard work of the vine, we are the ones who get to display the power of the Holy Spirit through us. Isn't that crazy? It's like we get to take credit for what the Holy Spirit is doing. Of course, we don't actually take credit. It's God. But that's the second point of the blueprint, right? As Christians, we are called to be bearers of fruit. The hard work, the power to do that comes from the Holy Spirit. And our job is to make the space for the Spirit to work. And then as long as you remain in the vine, as long as you are connected and making your home in Jesus, the Spirit's power is what will grow that fruit. And finally, the third point is don't be stubborn. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, I'm going to take a page out of Rev Ken's book. Do you remember him, the pastor from Australia? Yeah, so you guys know the New Testament was written in Greek, right? So you see that word nothing. Do you know what that word nothing is in the original Greek? Nothing. Yeah, I know it's cheesy. But yes, it means nothing, right? Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. Our tendency is to try to achieve things by our own strength. Let me give you an example. On Friday night at fellowship, we had a lot of stuff going on. And at the end, everyone helped pack up. But the final touches, getting the tables back to the side hall, getting the rubbish into the bins outside, resetting the hall, resetting the foyer, putting the snacks away, I did all that myself. And I'm not saying that to make you feel bad or because everyone genuinely did help out. It wasn't that. I did all that at the end because I kind of came out and said to people explicitly, no, it's okay, I'll deal with it. I'll sort it out. I'll put it away. See, I'm stubborn like that. I keep thinking, no, I don't want to bother people. And sometimes it makes me wonder, if I do that to people, how often do I do that to God? Nah, this thing is too small. I'm not going to bother God with that. Yeah, I know I have a problem, but I can sort myself out. Yeah, I've run lots of small groups before. I can wing it. Maybe that resonated with some of you, those thoughts. The fact of the matter is, the world teaches us that there is no one you can rely on but yourself. And sometimes we end up believing that. We hear people say things like, believe in yourself. Trust in yourself. Because like I said earlier, for someone who doesn't know Jesus, there is no one they can rely on but themselves. But for us, for people who know Jesus, who are connected to Jesus, who are empowered by the Holy Spirit, we have someone greater than ourselves that we can believe in, that we can trust in, that we can rely on and depend on. And it's to our detriment. It is our loss if we are too stubborn to set aside our pride and ask God to help us in everything. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. We should take that at face value. Everything you do, no matter how small, no matter how insignificant it seems, don't let that get in the way of asking the Holy Spirit for power to make it happen, because we need it. We need Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit to make things happen. We're designed to run on the Holy Spirit's power. And so the third and final point is, just don't be stubborn. Humble yourself. Give everything to God. Nothing is too small for God. Because he's the one with the power to do it, not us. And so let me wrap it up here. Jesus says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. We are the branches. Remain in me and you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The blueprint for the Christian life is, one, remain in Jesus. Make your home in Jesus. Intentional time with God. Start small, but expect him to meet you. Two, be bearers of fruit. Don't try to do it by yourself. Depend on the Holy Spirit, because it's his fruit that you are bearing. And three, don't be stubborn. Without Jesus, we can do nothing. That's what he said. The reality is, if you are not abiding in Jesus the vine, you cannot grow as a Christian. You will not grow. You will go through all the motions. You'll say all the right things. You'll go to church every Sunday. But you will not grow as long as you are not intimately connected to your source. If there's one thing to take away from today, it's this: intentional time with God. This is the key. Everything stems from this. If you don't have this right now, and you want to grow in your relationship with God, this is where to start. And start small. Right, just set aside 5 minutes of time, but make it intentional time. Make it consistent. Don't make it intellectual. It's a time to seek God, to listen to God. And if you can make that a part of your routine, you will see your spiritual life grow in leaps and bounds. So be encouraged by that. Let me pray to close. Lord Jesus, you are our vine. You are our source. You are the one that we have to stay connected to in order for us to live the way you intended. You came and gave us life, and then you sent your Holy Spirit to give us power to live that life. So let us lean into that. Let us learn to spend intentional time with you. I pray that as we seek you, you will be faithful and answer our seeking by meeting us there. I pray that you'll help us yearn for you, to long to have that time with you. And I pray that as we do that, you will help us and make us grow and bear your fruit, so that through our lives we can display your glory and your power. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.